This is the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Zechariah chapter 12, Perek Yudbet. Our learning today, as every day, is for the welfare of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, for their success and safety, for the swift return of all of the Chatufim, and for the healing of the wounded in this war in Gaza. So chapter 12 to 14 is sort of its own section of Sefer Zechariah, and it is united by the fact that it describes an attack on Jerusalem by, and I quote here, Kol Ha'amim, all the nations. Now, these chapters are united by this theme, this attack on Jerusalem, where God is going to save Jerusalem. And they're united by a repeated phrase, by Yom Hahu, which if you even look at our chapter, which isn't a very long chapter, our chapter is just 14 verses. And the phrase by Yom Hahu comes up, I think, 8 times. And over in the succeeding chapters, in chapter 13 and 14. So if I had to depict this chapter, chapter 12, I might call it Armageddon. Why Armageddon? Because the phrase in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bayomahu Yigdal Hamizbed Birushalayim, Kemispeid Hadar Dimon Bevikat Megidon. Megidon is the root of the word Armageddon. This plays a central place in Christian theology. But Megiddo was a strategic location. It commands, it's in the western southern side of the Jezreel Valley, and it's one of the mountain passes which controls the coastal road and the passage between the coastal road, the road between Egypt and Mesopotamia. And it was a really important site where actually King Josiah, Yoshiyahu, was killed in battle. We'll talk about that later. So let's just say a little bit about this chapter and what do we have. Well, if we open the chapter in Pasuk Aleph, we already see Hashem being described as, we start off with God himself, who is Noteh Shamayim V'Yoseid Aretz, God who sets the ground and sets up the heavens, and Yotzer Ruach HaAdam B'Kirbo, God the master of nature, the master of humanity. And why is God so central here? Because God will be the protector of Jerusalem. But here we get to our second theme, not just God, but Jerusalem itself. Because Jerusalem is described here in Pasuk Bet as Saf Ra'al L'chol Ha'amim, a pot of poison, a cup of poison, Saf, like Sefel, like a cup of poison for all of the nations, Jews who are going to come, all the nations who are going to Yeba Matzor Al Yerushalayim, going to besiege Jerusalem. Or in Pasuk Gimel, Jerusalem will be an Even Ma'amasa, it will be a heavy stone. Any nation who tries to lift up the stone of Jerusalem will be scratched, will be scathed. And not only that, but when we look at the people who come against Jerusalem, people, all the nations will come against Jerusalem. All of their horses are going to be struck with timahon, with confusion. And madness will strike their chariots, and they will be struck with blindness. Called Susa Amim Akeb Ivaron, they'll be blinded. And at that point, Pasuk Hey, the people of Judah will express their belief that this wonderful, this amazing, this unusual divine protection of Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem will start beginning to believe in Hashem Svaot Eloheihem. The violence against the nation continues, where God is going to make the armies of Yehudah kakior esh beitzim uchalabid esh ba'amir. They're going to be like fireballs. They're going to be spreading fire over all of their enemies. And it's very clear that the Hosha Hashem et Oale Yehudah, God is going to save the tents of Yehudah. Barishona, just like he did in the old days. Maybe there's echoes to Vayosha Hashem in Kriyat Yamsuf. Why? Leman lo tigdal tiferet Beit David v'tiferet Yoshev Yerushalayim al Yehuda. That we should all understand that God is saving us, not our leaders, not our army. The amazement at the victory will be so incredible that we will all understand that it is God. Bayomahu yagen Hashem ba'ad Yoshev Yerushalayim. God will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but not only will he protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem and lahashmid kol hagoyim, destroy the nations, but eventually he will come back to the leaders of Jerusalem, Beit David, and give them ruach chen v'tachanunim, a sense of grace and kindness. But now, after all of this victory, we have a very strange end, because the chapter ends with a sense of misped, a sense of eulogy, a sense of mourning for the dead. He says, "V'bitu elai kol asher dekaru." Everybody will look to God, all who have been injured. V'safdu alav k'misped alei achid, v'hamer alav k'hamer al b'chor. And they will somehow come out of this war mourning their dead, mourning the people who have died. Pasuk Yud Bet, "V'safta ha'aretz mishpachot, mishpachot levad, mishpachot Beit David levad." All of the people will be in a state of mourning over the dead who have been killed in this war. I want to say two things about this chapter. So the first question I have is, how can we have such a phenomenal victory and end up crying over the dead? When was there such a victory? And the answer is, there really was such a victory in the times of Chizkiyahu. The great Assyrian army came with all of its might and ferocity, destroyed 46 walled cities in Yehuda, and then came against Jerusalem. Jerusalem was shut up in a siege, and as described both in historical records and in Sefer Malachim, Jerusalem was somehow miraculously saved. The rabbi said that Chizkiyahu should have said Shira, he should have praised God, but he didn't. And the question is why he didn't. Rav Yoel Ben Nun suggests that one of the reasons he didn't was because there's simply such devastation all around. How can you praise God for saving Jerusalem when all of the countryside has been ruined and tens of thousands of Jews have been taken captive? You might have won the war, but you don't feel in a particularly elated and victorious state, even if God has saved Jerusalem. And I was thinking about another time when there was also almost miraculous salvation in Jerusalem, and that was in the Six-Day War. In the Six-Day War, where in 6 days, Israel, in the weeks leading up to the Six-Day War, had been so afraid. The Arab armies, Egypt, Syria, had been massing on our borders, and suddenly in 6 days, Israel was phenomenally victorious. Many people really felt that God was fighting for us. And then the victory happened, and you know, people really felt, if you want, the footsteps of Mashiach. Now, the chief of staff during that war was none other than Yitzhak Rabin, who, as I say, was the chief of staff, later became prime minister, was assassinated. And he was asked to speak at a victory concert at the Hebrew University on Mount Scopus. And I'll just quote a tiny bit of his speech that he said after the Six-Day War. And he says, "The elation of victory seized the entire nation. Yet, among the soldiers themselves, a curious phenomenon may be observed. They can't rejoice wholeheartedly. Their triumph is marred by grief and shock, and there are some who cannot rejoice at all. The men in the front line saw with their own eyes not only the glory of victory, but also its cost. Their comrades fallen beside them, soaked in blood. And I know the terrible price the enemy paid also moved many of our men." And he says, "Is it because their teaching has habituated the Jewish people not to exult in conquest and victory that they received it with such mixed feelings?" In other words, he says, we don't just revel in victory which comes as a result of violence and a great cost of life. So I wonder whether this is sort of describing Hashem's incredible victory, and yet we understand the cost, and therefore the end of the chapter is full of the misped, the sense of the loss of life, which is overwhelming. So that's just one reflection on this chapter. The second reflection puts this in a wider context of Chazal and history. The Gemara Megillah has a very powerful passage where it talks about these particular psukim, and in particular Pasuk Yud Aleph that I quoted before. Bayom ahu, on that day, Yigdal HaMispeid b'Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, there will be a eulogy k'mispeid, like the eulogy of Hadad Rimon b'Bikat Megiddon. And what is the eulogy of Hadad Rimon in Bikat Megiddon? And the Gemara Megillah says that this recalls two great kings. What's Hadad Rimon? It's the king killed by Ben Hadad, who was none other than Ahab, Ahav, the king of the north. The second is the king killed at Bikat Megiddon, and that's Yoshiyahu. Now, you couldn't have two more different kings. Ahav was king of the north, Yoshiyahu king of the south. Ahav was a evil king. He was followed idolatry. Yoshiyahu was a Melech Tzadik. Both of these kings were killed by enemies in war. Now, one represented, Ahav represented power and wealth and national prestige and success, though he was an idolater. Yoshiyahu represented, he was like a paradigm. He was the paragon of a Baal Teshuva. He took the whole nation, rid it of its avodah zarah, and cleansed it and took it all to God, but he was killed in war. And what we're saying is on that day, there will be a eulogy, a mispeid, just like the eulogy both for Ahav and for Yoshiyahu. So what does this verse mean? And Chazal spoke about this event as being the eulogy for Mashiach ben David. Sorry, try strike that. Not Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. There's this tradition that there'll be a sort of the Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of the Messiah, and the birth pangs of the Messiah will be led by a Messiah, Mashiach ben Yosef, and that will pave the way for Mashiach ben David. Rav Kook in 1904 stood up in Yafo and he gave a hesped for Herzl. Herzl, who had founded the Zionist movement, the first Zionist Congress in 1897, had died a young man. And it was Herzl who had raised the hopes of the return. And he was the person who actually organized representatives of the Jewish people to re-establish Jewish sovereignty in the modern age. And Rav Kook reflected on this line of, and in fact his speech is called HaMispeid Yerushalayim because of this, Bayom Ahu Yigdal HaMispeid Yerushalayim K'mispeid Hadad Rimon B'Bikat Megiddon. And he said, what is this eulogy both for the evil Ahab and for the righteous Yoshiyahu? And he said that there are two powers in the Jewish people. There is a power which is more universal, which is more like all the nations. It represents the power of infrastructure, of the economy, of land, of government, of diplomacy, everything that is entailed in having a nation. That's the physical side of the nation. And then there's the spiritual side. One is represented by Ahav from the north, which was more universal, and Yoshiyahu from the south, from Yehuda, which has God's name in it, Yud Hey Vav Hey, with an extra Dalet. And he said that just like a you can't have a human being without a body and a soul, the Jewish people need both body and soul. We need the Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the universal, and we need the Mashiach ben David, which is the spiritual. And he was indicating that in fact, what Herzl had done was actually to remind us that we can't just be like we lived in Galut, a nation wandering around the world without our own land, a nation with our Torah, with our Batei Midrash and our Batei Knesset, but we also do need a land. We need what only the Mashiach ben Yosef can bring, which is that infrastructure. So this is quite a powerful chapter. It has so many resonances in so many different directions, and it's been seen as sort of like a world of imagination, which so many people have begun to think about in terms of the various vicissitudes, the ups and downs of Jewish history. So that's it for today. And tomorrow we'll carry on with this very exciting drama of this sort of end of days, apocalyptic, Armageddon, redemption, landscape of Sefer Zechariah.